Hey everyone, we're about to get started. Today on our show we have Manuel La Torre. Hey Manu, how's it going?
Everything's going great. Starting classes today, but yeah, beautiful day in Puerto Rico.
Awesome. So let's get started with hearing a little bit more about yourself and your research. What do you do?
So like currently in the University of Puerto Rico, I work towards developing like a cancer detecting electrode platform. So yeah, you guys know about those glucose sensors, for example, diabetic patients use. So sort of the same thing, but using electrochemical methods that could actually give us an idea of like, some parameters of resistance of a biomarker we use in tissue samples and like integrate into the electrode and like measure change in impedance with that. So yeah, that's what we're working towards.
Very cool.
So it's accountable for like one type of cancer right now. So like what we would like to like focus more on is like maybe diversify it and like look for other cancer that could use some other type of biomarker as well. And maybe like make faster detection for cancer at early stages.
Awesome. So for our listeners, what is electrochemistry? Because I'm also kind of unfamiliar with what electrochemistry is. And what does electrochemistry research look like?
So like electrochemistry research is like repeating a lot of experiments, like most researches, you know? So like, regularly, you have to like measure for like variables you can see in an engineering lab, for example. But just using solutions and like making a circuit out of a solution. So like there's so variables you can measure in electrochemistry that are worth researching is like change in impedance, like change in voltage and modulation of voltage when in the solution. So like oxidation and reduction, that's what you study in electrochemistry. Maybe you've seen the graphs in electrochemistry and see that maybe they're similar to those of mechanical engineering as well. But yeah, like we call them voltammograms, and that's how you do electrochemistry. Yeah. Cool. So you want to measure like if you have the solution and you want to run a circuit through the solution and like see how there's the oxidation and reduction between the solution and the electrode, you can do that by graphing voltammograms and like change in impedance and change in current that's flowing through a solution.
Very interesting. That's really interesting how you apply that to sort of the electrical side of things and in a lab setting. That's a very, very abstract. I think that's not very inherent, especially in undergrad. It's something that's very unique. So that's interesting that you apply those.
Together. Yeah, there is like very like I would say it's a small population of electrochemists out there, but it's really I would say it's a small field from how people see it, because not many people go into it because it's relatively overwhelming at times. Even I'm overwhelmed at times. And this is coming from a biology/engineer, you know, like I got into it because I just thought of like, hey, these guys are developing an electrode that can detect cancer. That's pretty cool. And then I knew that they were doing electrochemistry and I was like, then I gotta learn electrochemistry. Let's do this. And it's really fun. Like I can say it's fun. Like I think people don't see the fun of it much of the times, but I really like it.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. So I guess the next question we could ask you is, I know we know you have a pretty wide variety of research experience up to this point in your academic career. So could you detail a little bit more about your array of research and your progression, and then describe out of those a little bit of your favorite research experience out of that suite?
Oh yeah, definitely. So like during undergrad, I got into my undergraduate seeking to like later become a physician, right? Maybe that's like a very like regular story a lot of kids have who get into like the university and like just want to become doctors, right? So I applied to the University of Puerto Rico and I didn't get into the biology program. I didn't get into the program I wanted to like like what I would think was the traditional way to get into medical school, you know. But then I was accepted into the electronics engineering program, which was a very quirky program. It was really awesome. Like it was just a lot of my type of people, geeks who just wanted to learn a lot of stuff, you know. And I learned how to build stuff like hardware, how to like design circuitry, basically a lot of mathematics that I really enjoyed. And I was like, hey, I really like this. But still I went into like biology classes as a guest, like to see classes, and I was still intrigued by it. So I got into biology, but at the time I really didn't know what research was. And I went to an ecology research as out of impulse, just because I said like, hey, research is sort of cool. Let me try it out. And I foolishly went to an ecology research. We were working to characterizing like the growth development of the Plumeria species. Like it's called Deauchéville something, Deauchéville Plumeria. I don't remember the correct name, but yeah, it was to characterize that species in the Guanica Dry Forest, which is here in Puerto Rico as well. So the idea was to characterize the growth development of the species, and I really was intrigued by it, but I knew ecology wasn't my thing. I really didn't like love those 8-hour hikes on Saturdays, even though they were beautiful. It was pretty intense. So I said, no, let me change research. And I got into neuroscience, actually. I started doing researching neuroscience and biochemistry. And there was a little side of biophysics to it, because we were characterizing the nicotinic acetylcholine receptor, which is like a very like important protein in the dopaminergic neurons in your brain. So if you don't have that receptor, you could develop. But so I wouldn't say it's the causation of the diseases. It's one of the contributing factors of many diseases that are neurodegenerative. So like Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, schizophrenia, and drug addiction, which has been found to be related a lot to that, to the absence of that receptor or misexpression. So if you don't have that receptor, you get like a degradation in those regions specifically. So it's really interesting in that sense. But I really then went to like a summer research program that was dedicated to studying traumatic brain injury from a mechanical engineering point of view. And that was really, really, really like, I was far out. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I really loved it. What I loved most about it is how you could see how traumatic brain injuries could detriment tissue in a long run, especially in the brain, and how the brain could like, literally, you could like, for example, our animal model, which show behavioral issues during the 9-month period it was being observed. And I was in that research, I did a lot of behavioral analysis. So that's why like I saw the detriment, and it was pretty interesting. But then I started having doubts if I really wanted to like do neuroscience, and if I really wanted to like dedicate myself to like just focusing by doing neuroscience and biochemistry while still having an engineering background. So, you know, I was very confused at the time. So I was like, hey, what should I do? So thankfully, I met a lot of people, like graduate students, that really saw things sort of how I did. And I went for it and switched researches and got into electrochemistry and a lot of device development type of things. And that really motivated me into like pursuing like more in-depth research in engineering. But before that, like while still being in the neuroscience lab, I went to MIT for a summer. And that's where I really had the game-changing experience, which was working with tissue-like materials to develop like more tissue-like circuits for implantables. And that was amazing. I had got to develop my own project and develop my own designs and like 3D print everything. So I was literally working on my own on that, while still having guidance, of course, you know. And I would say the biggest contributing factor was that experience for me to jump the research areas and get into like electrochemistry and like engineering and device development and truly do what I've been most, like every day of my life I've been passionate about. But yeah, it's cool designing stuff. It's artistic.
Wow. Wow, what a journey.
That was like a very long story. I'm so sorry.
No, I was happy to hear all of it. I mean, you've got me intrigued, Manu. Now let's talk about next steps. So I know that you're interested in doing an MD PhD program. So we've heard that, you know, went into school wanting to be a physician, got into research, electrochemistry. How does this all fit together? What's the dream job look like? What's the dream look like in general? Tell us more.
So, I forgot to mention about like how at the MD PhD came in place, like in my mind when I was like in this journey. Yeah. Like, so when I started my neuroscience research at the time, I was still thinking of being a physician, you know, but I was intrigued by research a lot. So I was having that debate. So like, should I become a physician? Should I be a PhD and work in research full time? You know, but then like while still having that research, like my engineering knowledge, I went to like that summer research program where I worked with traumatic brain injury and then went to like MIT. You know, it was very, very, very motivating that I got to know a lot of physicians involved in that type of engineering work and like seeing how these people worked. And I said like, hey, like, I know I can do this and I know I want to do it. Why is it so hard to admit that I want to do an MD PhD? Cause you know, like it's some people just think it's like a career flair, you know, having the two titles, but it's not because of that. It's because you want to have that patient hand experience and being able to like work in your research and like try to make lives better. And like while being at MIT, how did I get that through my head and like being able to comprehend all that was while noticing that technologies we're developing currently in the industry are not fully biocompatible or comfortable for patients, you know. And that was when everything hit me and like, hey, we have the chance to actually seek forward to making more tissue like electronics and like things that can actually be physiologically and mechanically like compatible to your body. Why not work towards that? There's more people that need that type of help in research and like patients who need that type of technology. Why not focus on that, you know? So I got into that and I was like, okay, I'm decided. I want to do an MD PhD. I'm going to pursue this. You know, and it was scary at first because, you know, when you ask people, it's not something, you know, there's not many physician scientists in Puerto Rico. I only know currently one who works in the hospital in the university, and he works with cancer biology. So getting a reference from him from an engineering standing point, it was kind of like difficult because he was like, so why do you want to do it in engineering and not biology? Because, you know, it was still abstract to him. But then we had more talks and he was like, okay, you definitely can do that. But yeah. So like, I want to dedicate myself more to like developing technologies that are more compatible mechanically and physiologically to our high water content body, you know, and like make electricity more feasible and stretchable materials. So what I would see myself in the future is like dedicating myself to like working with patients and like in a university, at a medical school, specifically like trying to like develop new physicians that get more involved in materials research and materials knowledge, you know, because like a lot of physicians like are learning more and more about like how prostheses work, but you know, and like how these implantable devices work, but I don't know if they fully like understand like the applicability of materials and how materials like being too rigid or being less flexible than others are actually a setback to the patient's comfortableness, you know. And that's something you have to be account, because, you know, how the patient interacts with it and how the body interacts with it biologically with the implant is very important.
Very true. Very true. That's interesting. Also, I guess this sort of leads into another question I had based on that. It seems like you really know or have learned how to leverage your resources, whether it be medical professionals or professors or even grad students that have sort of like helped you conceptualize what you've known is always there in your passion, but sort of materialize it. So how have you basically come to learn how to leverage all these resources? Like, have you grown up in a area where you've always known like how to approach different topics, or has it been more of a case of you've been in a lot of situations while in university that have exposed you to a lot of really knowledgeable people in your field?
So I would think that my first teacher was my grandpa. he was a surgeon. He was a cardiothoracic surgeon for the U.S. military. And as a kid, he would teach me a lot of like medical things, you know, and I would spend a lot of time in his library. And I think he was like the most, like the biggest inspiration of me, like for me to like pursue something in science. Sadly he passed away like when I was 7 and I lost my teacher in that sense. But, you know, during high school, I sort of had less and less mentors, because high school is such a like abstract time in one's life. But getting into college, there was a lot, like I had one professor that stuck with me since first year. And she was, she still is actually like mentoring me to this day after 5 years of office hours. You know, we still talk oftenly, you know, and she was one of those people that told me like, hey, you can do whatever you want, you know, you just have to like focus. But she was one of the people who knew that, hey, you're not doing enough in ecology, you know, you're not pursuing what you want, you need to notice that. So a lot of like my exposure to getting into like a lot of diverse knowledge has sort of been like hinted by a lot of these people. Like, it was not just her, it was also a lot of professors, that also my PIs, my mentors, graduate students who often helped me, hinted to me like a lot of things that got me into like very curious moments of my life in research. And like, whenever I saw like a talk about something, like a professor was talking about something in the auditorium or something, I would go, or like students exposing the research and stuff like that. And in that sense, I was hinted a lot of like things I would question myself later during the day. And then I would see like these posters, and this connected me to other things that people I heard before talk about. And I was like, maybe that's related to this. And I would just like oftenly spend like a lot of my time in college going to like free lectures. Also like Googling a lot of stuff when I was bored. But yeah, I would say like I'm a natural hungry for knowledge type of person. But it wasn't reached alone. I had a lot of guidance, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's always that combo of, you know, having that the inner spark of wanting to learn more and be ravenous for knowledge, paired with the people who can get you there and can feed you that knowledge. Yeah. So, I mean, you've dropped a lot of knowledge on us today. What is something that you'd like to tell to someone, you know, maybe younger than you or older than you, doesn't matter, but wants to get involved in research, wants to, you know, do anything college related, like what advice would you want to give to them that you wish someone would have told you?
Well, I've been told a lot this, but it is now as I'm graduating, like applying to like MD PhD programs, that I'm actually like noticing that I need to like put that in perspective. Like, don't forget about people, and don't forget that you actually have a life, you know. I had a lot of hobbies. Don't forget that you have a lot of hobbies, and you know, hobbies are actually really good for your mind. So don't forget about that. And yeah, keep doing them and make time for them and make time for people, because people is like always going to be there for you. especially family and friends. Because for me, I used to play water polo and I swam like competitively. And I played water polo competitively during high school and like until I was like 18. And I surfed too. So during college, I did none of that, you know. And those were things that were very good outlets for me. And I lost them, but I'm getting back to them now. And like, thanks to a lot of professors that mentioned like, hey, you need to like make more time for yourself sometimes. But yeah, it's an important thing to like make time for those hours. You just don't want to think and like stare at walls maybe.
So what hobbies are you currently engaging in, or what do you want to do this academic year to keep your sanity throughout the application process?
So like I tend to like jog every night or run. I do 3 miles at least to like sweat my stress away maybe, because you know there's a lot of like stuff people have to do, you know. So like that is a really good outlet. I've noticed that my best outlets are very physical, so like I run 3 miles maybe. But yeah, also another one I'm like going back to is like surfing. You can see my board right there. But yeah, like during the summer there's not many waves, so hopefully back in winter, like now in December, I can get back to like better waves and stuff and like get back to that, you know. But the strength in legs maybe goes away, but the technique doesn't fail. So I'm still relatively okay at that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you found hobbies that work for you, and I'm glad that, you know, you're finding your way through this crazy time that we're all existing in. You know, I think everyone's found their own individual ways to stay academically sharp, but also mentally sharp too. So that's great.
Yeah, it's very important, especially in these pandemic times.
It is. Well, the next question I'd like to ask is, could you name a fun fact about yourself or that you've come across or something about your field of research that really would, you know, surprise some people?
Maybe about myself instead of research. So yeah. Remember that I mentioned I played water polo, right? So I was actually going, so I traveled to California and like Florida and a lot of states to like play in like with international tournaments and stuff. So I was actually going to participate in the Pan American event, but I gave it up the year before because I needed to like visit my family. So yeah, I chose family over representing Puerto Rico over the Pan American. My coach still hates me because of that, but it still could.
Wow, that's really cool. Now, that's really impressive, though. That's, if you're not familiar, for the listeners, the Pan American Games are very, very popular among sports enthusiasts in a variety of, you know, Olympic events or whatever it may be. That's very cool.
It was going to be in Colombia, I remember. So I was thinking of taking a bus from Peru to Colombia. So my family's Peruvian. So I was even thinking about taking a bus from Peru to Colombia. But yeah, I was like, nah, I'm going to be okay. I want to be chill in Peru. But yeah, after that, then I started college and like I decided to like leave it aside. But yeah, I still swim and I still have meet with my friends from water polo back in the days. Yeah, same back in the days when I'm actually 22. Wow, that kind of sucks.
yeah,
but like for the listeners out there, playing water polo, your peak is like at 20 or like 17.
I think that's how it is for a lot of athletics, you know, being old in a sport is not actually old at all.
Well, it depends. Like, you know, if you're like doing arch and arrow, I think it's different.
That's true.
Props. Okay. Props. I think this is probably a good note to end on. So thank you so much, Manu, for being on our show today. It was delightful. I loved the conversation. I loved, you know, getting to know you more, getting to learn about electrochemistry and your research life and goals and dreams. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, thanks. It was great to have you guys. Like, well, be in this thing with you guys. Sorry. I tend to mix my Spanish, like my Spanish in my mind with my English as I speak. So yeah. But yeah, it was great. Really loved meeting you guys. And like for the listeners out there, I was in MSRP with Autumn. Like that's how I got to know her. Sadly, because of the pandemic, we were not able to go to MIT this year, but hopefully we'll get to go there as grad students, hopefully.
That's the dream. That's awesome. The goal.